Well, I just want to begin by saying thank you for being here. Every Sunday, I'm often struck by the simple fact that people show up to church, and I just commend you. Y'all are amazing. Thank you for coming. You could be anywhere, and you're here. I'm grateful for you. Well, I want you to listen again to the word of Daniel that we just heard read from the Old Testament. It says this: "As I looked, behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom and power, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Our powerful reading from Daniel this morning has undergone immense scrutiny from readers and interpreters for generations. It's a famous passage. It's been used for all sorts of arguments and all sorts of prophetic discernments about the future. Many of them have come true, and many of them have not. Some have argued about this passage that it is it's really about the ultimate collapse of the Syrian Empire in the 2nd century BC. Some of you history buffs might know about this story. There's good reason for that interpretation. I won't talk about it with you now. It's a little boring, but I could talk with you later. Some have argued that this is about the Roman Empire. This is about the long defeat of the Romans, who established their power over Israel for generations and generations, ultimately upended. But then others have argued that this is about what it seems to be about: the collapse of the Babylonian Empire, the force that invaded Israel and carried off the Israelites into their own territory for years. And then they were freed and restored. Finally, there are those who argue that this is about the end of all things. This is a glorious vision of what is to come for those who place their faith in Jesus. And you can make a strong argument for that interpretation as well. And I think many, if not all, of these interpretations actually have some real merit to them. Because with good writing, as you all know, often many things can be true at the same time. But on a day like today, which is Christ the King Sunday, thank you again for designating it, Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the Christian calendar, tomorrow we begin another year. I want to simply suggest that this passage is just about the ultimate, complete, perfect authority and dominion of Jesus Christ. It is about the power of Jesus Christ and his ultimate authority over all things, even today. Think again about the language that we just read. The Son of Man comes in clouds. Which direction? Up. Into the presence of the Ancient of Days. Maybe you know that phrase. It means God, the Ancient One. He is illuminated, as the verses say, in white. He's seated on a throne of fire with 1,000 thousands, it says, sitting at his feet. And then resting on his lap are the scrolls of judgment, the deeds done by everyone throughout all history, throughout all time, sitting on his lap. So what's going on here? Well, I think it's even as Israel is defeated by the Babylonians, that's when this is purportedly written. They're carried off into exile. Daniel is forced to interpret dreams. Some of you know this story, by a foreign king. One of his visions recorded here exceeds the descriptive visualization of Israel's restoration, which we know about, and it leaps off the page. And it limbs out, describes this entire prophetic vision about the commencement of every single one of our hopes, which you may not know, is finally the ascent of the resurrected Jesus Christ into the presence of God the Father, the coming of the Son of Man, the presence of the Ancient of Days. Together we see God the Son in the ascension, the champion of life and hope and peace, coming back into permanent residence with God the Father after he has completed his ultimate purpose and mission, which is defeating the power of death and redeeming his own by his own blood. And when he sits at the right hand of God the Father, which is what we see envisioned here, we know that the Father is well pleased. And it tells us plainly that this one, this Son of Man, is given all power, all authority, all dominion, all glory. And then it says that every nation on earth kneels down before him. That's some wild stuff. That is jarring. And so I want to propose a really simple thought for all of you today. That even while this very figurative language, right? God, we don't know if he actually has fire coming out of his own being. I like to imagine it. That even in this figurative language, the literal conclusion that we get is that Jesus Christ, the Galilean teacher in the first century, has somehow become, in fact, the king of all things, and as a human being is seated at the right hand of God and exercises all dominion, all authority, and all power. He is the king of all kings, and whatever you think about that word king, Jesus is it. Whatever you think that word king means, whatever you think the word dominion means, Jesus has that. He defines those terms, in other words, before we even do. And then the other part of this, which I'm asking you to envision and imagine as if it were truly real, is that he is currently, right now, as you are sitting in that chair, plastic, not very comfortable, he is establishing his own rule in the world that you live in today. It is his. It belongs to him. Your life, everything that you want, it's all his. And honestly, I truly mean it. If this is all that you remember from this sermon, I will be deeply satisfied. Because that simple truth that Jesus is an actual king who actually rules over all things has the power to change everything, everything about your life. It can change everything. I've been thinking of it like this. So a couple days ago, I went with my kids. By the way, all the illustrations I'm going to use today are about children because that is, again, what I do. I once had a pastor who was like always football metaphors. And I, you know, well, now we know what he thinks about all the time. What I think about all the time is my children because I'm always with them. So a few days ago, I take my children to the Ag Center, the Tennessee Agriculture Center. We live pretty close to it. Maybe you've been. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite places in Nashville. And it was about 3:30 in the afternoon, 4. And the sun was going down, and we went and met some friends who also have young kids. And there's this part in the Ag Center where it's like a valley. There's a iris garden down in the bottom, gazebo. But it's in this swale, a kind of valley where you can see everything. And so what I like to do is I'll go and trundle up the hill, and I can see everything down below, and I just let them free. They can do anything they want. The rule is you just stay in the valley. As long as you stay in the valley, you're good. You can climb on the trees. You can jump in the creek. You can drop a rock on your big toe, and I don't care. Because I can see everything. I know exactly what's going on, and I know that there is nothing that I couldn't take care of, because I see over all of it. And so the kids can play in perfect safety with perfect freedom. Perfect safety and perfect freedom. So I want you to see in some way, because Jesus rules over all of our world, even today, the beginning of this new Christian year, and because of what he has done on the cross and the resurrection, that on some real and fundamental level, undergirding all of our lives and the goings-on of our waking hours and our sleeping, we are perfectly secure, perfectly safe, and thereby perfectly free. You are perfectly free to make mistakes, to be afraid, to be yourself, to take risks, to tell someone what you're really like. You are perfectly secure because God is king, and you are perfectly free because he can see all things from the promontory of his throne and know exactly what you need. Do you believe it? You can. He's not here. He is with God, his heavenly Father, reigning on the throne. So that's the first thing. Jesus is really, truly, actually a king. And then here's the second thing that I want you to see. Jesus is, in fact, unlike any king we have ever known. He is not like the kings that you think of, maybe everybody. When you think of king, you think of Henry VIII, I bet. That is not like Jesus exactly. Sorry to break it to you. The phrase that we see in here that is so striking and fascinating is this phrase, Son of Man. The phrase Son of Man, it really is, this feels showy, Ben Ha'adam, the Hebrew is Son of Adam. He's the Son of Adam. That means he is the second man. The first Adam has come and failed, and the second Adam has arrived. This vision is designating a person who will be truly human being, a true human being. And so he shows us, Jesus, in other words, both as king and human being, what it really actually looks like to be you. He shows you not just a model of moral, he's not just an exemplar of moral perfection. He shows you what the good life is. He shows you what it means to be in fellowship, to have joy, to have duty, to have full life. He is the reestablishment of Adam. He's showing it. He tells us what it looks like to be perfectly in love and fellowship with God the Father. And so again, he's not simply showing us what it looks like to be a human being in some perfect world. He is establishing as the second Adam a perfect union between God and us. He is doing what Adam never did and what you and I could never do. He is not simply, in other words, ruling over us as a king like Henry VIII. He is representing all of you, but with perfect peace, perfect trust in God the Father, perfect commitment to his rule, perfect obedience and satisfaction, and he can represent us because he is, in fact, one of you. He's like an ambassador who goes to a foreign country, and he knows everything about the cultures and the peoples from which he's come, and so he can accurately represent all of the needs that those people might have to another people. He is like the link at the bottom of a cable in an enormous crane, and once that link is clipped into the object, it's perfectly secure. In other words, Jesus establishes, because he is a perfectly obedient Adam, he establishes absolute, genuine, authentic connection between us because he is one of us, and then has the power, the right, and has earned it because of his obedience on the cross to bring all of everything else, you and me, all of our humanity, up into the presence of God the Father because he is God's own son and because he is one of you and me. And what that means, friends, about his rule is that it's real. He does, in fact, have all power, dominion, authority. And it's established. That perfect rule is established in absolute mercy, gentleness, and love. He has accommodated his own being to become like you so that all of you can come up into the perfect presence of God the Father. Think of it like this. I don't know if I'm going to get this right because I heard it from another pastor. This isn't original to me. But it's like this. At the beginning of Genesis, after Adam and Eve have been given their commissioning to go and cultivate the garden, after they've finished naming the animals, after they've cultivated everything and made it a beautiful garden, what do you think they do? This isn't in the Bible, it's just pure imagination. What do you think they do? I think that they bring him a flower. They bring God the Father the most beautiful rose that they could imagine. This is my imagining, by the way. And what do you think God says? How beautiful. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Now, as a parent, extend it to this. Now, as a parent, sometimes when you need a break, and you all do, you tell your kids, so you get out the crayons, you get out markers, and then you send them into their room, and you say, go and make something. And then when they come back in, after they've made whatever it is that they're going to make, and they hand it to you and show it to you proud, big smile on their face, what do you say? You say, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Likewise, when Jesus ascends into the presence of God the Father as the true representative, the second Adam, and comes into the presence of God Almighty, offering up his one perfect cultivated gift, which is you, they both will say, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. That's the kind of king Jesus is. That's the kind of king who has ultimate authority. He has descended, come down into our midst to cultivate us into his perfect offering to his heavenly Father. And just as you glory in the creation of your children's artwork, their work on the field or their academic, whatever it is, just as you delight in them, God the Father sees God the Son present us as his beautiful offering. And he can't help but drop his jaw. It's so beautiful. And so at the end of this passage, when all things on heaven and earth kneel before the King, they don't do it out of a requirement. They don't do it because they have to. They do it because they long to, because they're being gloried in by God, their Father. You and me will kneel, not with grudge, but with a willing heart. And so Jesus' rule, friends, it is very real. It's very real. He has currently established his throne at the right hand of God. He sees all things going on in your life, and he has not forgotten you. You can intercede to him whenever you like because he is currently interceding for you in each and every day. And he longs. It is his true desire. It was the purpose of his coming to earth, of his death and his resurrection, to shape and fashion and cultivate you and all of us as God's people, the church, his own body, into something so beautiful that God loses his breath. To those of you who are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, know on Christ the King Sunday that you belong to Jesus, who's the King. He's good and merciful and true, and he is at work in your lives and mine, no matter how chaotic things may seem, no matter what the news feed says, no matter what is going on in the life of your family. He has established his rule. It does not end. It will not fail. And he is doing that work, even currently, with you, because he loves you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.